Ask you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John, chapter number 2. I'd like to read the first 6 verses from our text this evening. And here John begins to write, and he said, "My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. And he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and look into your word, to study tonight those things you've written to us this evening, that we might draw closer to you, that we might be a better witness and testimony for you in this world of darkness and evil. And Father, tonight, that one day when we stand before you, you might say unto us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We ask you now, Lord, to take the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth, make them acceptable in thy sight. And Lord, this evening we pray that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and exalted. Lord, and in his wonderful holy name we pray. Amen and amen. John is writing this epistle primarily to Christians. And we're going to see tonight that he's going to make a distinction here in just a moment. But as he begins this second chapter, and he talks about an advocate. And an advocate is somewhat like a lawyer. It's someone who speaks for you. And I'm glad tonight that here he talks about that we have an advocate. And this advocate has never lost a case, nor will never yet lose a case, because that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight, my main thing tonight is he's going to make a distinction tonight between counterfeit and real. I would imagine that many of you here have been to a grocery store or a Walmart or some other store, and you reach into your pocket and you pull out a bill, and when you hand it to the cashier, they take a little pen and run across it, and they're checking to make sure you're not passing counterfeit money. Somebody said, "I've never had that happen to me." They do every bill I give them that way. I guess I just got that look, huh? I don't know. But they're checking to make sure I'm not giving them counterfeit money. They have a detection device in that little pen, and it detects whether or not that money is real or counterfeit. And that's what John is going to deal with in our text chapter this evening. And he's dealing with it tonight in the spiritual realm. Because you see tonight in Christianity, in the spiritual realm tonight, there are real Christians and there are counterfeit Christians. Jesus said there would be wheat and there would be tares. Sometimes we are identified as sheep or as goats this evening. And John here begins to tell us how that we can know the real from the counterfeit. Just as that cashier has a detection device that alerts her to a counterfeit bill, we find that John writes here in his word that we have a detection device. We have a way to determine if it's real or if it's counterfeit. Down through the years, I've heard many times people say, well, we cannot judge what's in a person's heart. But you know, the Bible says that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And I'm not able to look into somebody's heart tonight, but I believe John wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he wrote it tonight to make sure that people are real and not counterfeit. And he begins tonight to say that you're real tonight if salvation is of the Lord. We must have a relationship with God. We talked about this morning about God, our Father, about the Abba Father. That's a relationship that you have with God. And how can you know if you have a relationship with God? Well, John teaches us that here in our text this evening. You see tonight, it must be established by grace. It must be founded upon the grace of God. It must be tonight rooted in the blood of the Son of God. It must tonight be able to stand a scrutiny by the Word of God. It must tonight have Jesus Christ as the Savior, and it must include tonight conviction of the Holy Spirit and then repentance and faith toward God. You see, in verse number 2, he said, and he is, he's speaking here of Jesus, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He is a propitiation for our sins. Now, that's a big word. To be fair with you, I don't remember last week or the week before that, or even the week before that, anybody using that word in a sentence. I doubt if any of you have used that word in a sentence. Propitiation. What does it mean? Well, the simplest way that I can tell you tonight is it means it is a satisfaction. Over in the book of Isaiah, when it begins to depict Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, it says that he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. You see, Jesus is the satisfier of our sins. He has satisfied the judgment of God and the righteousness of God for you and for I. If you tonight owe a sum of money, and they call you on the telephone and say, sir, you owe our company this amount of money, and we intend to collect it. We want our money. You owe us this amount. And you say, I'm sorry, I've already paid that. They called me from the state tax commission one time and said, you haven't paid your sales tax for, I forgot what month it was. And I said, wait a minute, I got the canceled check right here. So I had to make a copy of it, call the bank and get a copy of the back of the check where it had been endorsed and fax it to them. I called a few days later and they said, everything's fine. Why? Because that canceled check satisfied my debt. That's what Jesus did for you and I. He satisfied our debt. He is a propitiation. It tonight is of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter number 11, you find that I think maybe one of the clearest pictures of how salvation comes about of anywhere in the Scriptures. In verse number 19, it said, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. You see tonight, the first step in being saved tonight, the first step in our salvation is hearing about Jesus Christ. You hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here these individuals begin to travel as missionaries, and they begin to spread and preach the gospel. They begin to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what missionaries do. They go into regions and they begin to establish places where they preach the gospel. I don't know what takes place today, but most missionaries that I've talked to have never went into a place in Africa or Asia or some of those other countries and begin to preach this health and prosperity gospel we have going about today. They preach the Lord Jesus. That's the first step. You got to hear the gospel. And the hand of the Lord was with them. That's God working. You see tonight, God begins to work. That's the Holy Spirit beginning to take that message and get down into the hearts and the lives of individuals and begin to convict them and convince them of the truth that's being preached to them. And a great number believed. You got to believe. But you're really not saved yet. And turned unto the Lord. That's a picture of salvation. And you see tonight, are you real? You have to hear about Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes that message and begins to get down into your heart and your life and convince you and convict you. And you believe that wonderful truth that Jesus died for you. And you turn unto the Lord. That's salvation tonight. Martin Luther, the was an Augustine monk before he became the reformer. And he was searching and trying to appease God, to please God. He was seeking a way that he might have everlasting life. He was seeking a relationship with God. And he was doing all the things that he was told to do. And he could find no peace within his soul. He went to Rome to climb the 39 steps. When he was there, as he was climbing, suddenly Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 1 and verse number 17 cried out to him, "The just shall live by faith." See tonight, our faith is not in what we can do or what we have done, but our faith tonight rests upon the finished work of Calvary. You see, Calvary is what saved us tonight. Jesus is what saved us tonight. You see, God saves. Not a one of us here have anything to brag about our salvation. God saves. It was the grace of God that saved us tonight. God indwells us. The Holy Spirit comes and begins to live within us, and God changes us, and thank God he remains within us the rest of our life. You see tonight, if you're real, you begin with the foundation tonight that salvation is of the Lord. Not something you've done, something you've earned, or something you've learned. But tonight it's through the finished work of Calvary this evening. But then he says, keep his commandments. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Over in John chapter 21, when the church decided to go fishing, I heard Brother Percy Ray preached one time on that passage of Scripture, and he said, the backsliding preacher went fishing and half the church followed him. But they were out in the ship. And when Jesus appeared to them and they came to land, and he asked Peter a question. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And you know, the question tonight could come to you and I. Do we love Jesus? Somebody says, how can we know we love Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. Over in John chapter number 14, you find that Jesus himself gives the answer. I'll get there in just a minute. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. I'm sorry, I'm reading in the wrong chapter. I thought something was wrong here. I'm sorry, John 14:21. That's another sermon. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Jesus said, you don't know if you love me or not. You keep the commandments that I've given you. I like verse 22. And Judas saith unto him, not Issachar, Lord, how is it that thou shalt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode for him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. How do we know if we love Jesus? If we keep his commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? In other words, we do what the Lord says, not what somebody else says. Back in England many years ago, Oliver Cromwell came to power, and he was a very Puritan individual and great purge, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but many things were forbidden. After his demise, a man by the name of Charles I came to the throne of England. And he made an edict, a command, that all people would attend sports games on Sunday. And he called all the pastors and wanted them to tell their congregation. Most pastors refused, but this one pastor said he'd do it. Everybody was kindly upset. Why would he do this? And so he got into the pulpit that Sunday morning. He read the edict from Charles I. And then he opened up the Bible and said, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. He said, I've told you, one king on earth and one king on heaven, you decide who you're going to obey. Now think about it tonight. That's what he's saying. Do we really love the Lord? Are we willing to do what he says? We know that we know him because we want to obey him. We want to do it. Not something we have to do. We want to do it. You know, some people say, you know, sometimes we preach hard sermons. But I found one thing is true. the most important thing that I can give to you this evening is to tell you what God's Word says. Now listen to me. Because I can holler and scream, I can run and do all of those things, but the main point tonight is the Word of God. Amen. Because when you hear the Word of God, it has its own power. It doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on anybody else. It's the powerful sword of God that goes into the heart and lives of men and women and boys and girls. And I've seen it work so many times. Lehman Strauss was a great preacher of the God's Word, wrote many commentaries, preached many sermons, and I never got to hear him personally. I've read several of his books, and great man of God. And I got a sermon that he preached, and he was talking about when he was a new Christian. He had been saved very long, and they had a guest speaker come to the church that Sunday. And he told how that when the preacher got up to preach, he made some statements about a certain thing. And he said, it made me so mad. I was determined that I'd never go back to that church again. I was so angry. But he said, about 2 days, God had already broken my heart because he kept telling me that man's right from the Word of God. You see, tonight, it's not me, but it's the Word of God. And when God's Word gets on you, and you look into the Word of God, and you know that that's what God says to do, then you're willing to do it. You see? Might not be today, but I guarantee you the Lord won't let you go till he gets your attention with it tonight. Had a lady tell me one time, I was talking to her about a subject, and I said, well, this is what the Bible says. She said, I don't care what you say or what the Bible says. This is what I believe. Sometimes you tell on yourself. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. John says that we know him because we're willing to obey him. And you see, a counterfeit will always look like the real thing. Most people don't counterfeit $3 bills or $6 bills or $8 bills. They counterfeit $20 bills or $10 bills. They counterfeit something that's going to look real. They're trying to trick and deceive. And you see tonight, that's what deception is all about. Many people are deceived tonight. And then lastly, he talks about our walk. Look at verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We're to walk as Jesus walked. Now, I know we'll never come close to walking that way. But you begin to study his life and his ministry and you find that Jesus walked with compassion. He had compassion on people. He loved people. He reached out to people. He saw the fields white to harvest and had great compassion tonight. He walked with courage. You ever thought about the great courage of our Lord? He stood up to the organized religionists of his day. He stood up to the Roman government of his time. And he never backed away from standing for God tonight. He never backed away from what the Lord said. He had great courage. He had great charity, great love, glad that he did, great clarity. One thing that always amazes me is the Lord was always clear. He made sure people understood what he said. He is our example, not for salvation. But tonight, he is our example to follow in our walk day by day. was a thing several years ago, said, what would Jesus do? I'm not going to get into all of the ramifications of that, but I want to tell you, sometimes maybe we ought to just stop and think before we do something, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? I believe we'd stop and do that and do what Jesus would do, we'd probably all be better off, wouldn't we?
Right.
Real or counterfeit? That's what John is dealing with here tonight. And so, you know, we have to answer that question in our own heart. Are we real or are we counterfeit? That's a question only people can answer in their own heart and their own lives. You see. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Ruth Good Barber, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. Take this word and use it tonight for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer. In his blessed holy name I pray. Amen.